Welcome to
the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Parada, and this is NCAA College Football Week 7. And the Sharp Side Podcast is hot as hell right now. Combined 8-2 last week, 4-1 for myself, 4-1 for James. James is a little preoccupied tonight. He won't be able to hop on the pod tonight. Unfortunately, I'm recording this after I got my ass handed to me with Navy, which was not a fun watch. We truck on and we're moving on. I don't have anything for Friday. If you are listening to this, then out of everything, the only thing is I would lean over in Clemson, Syracuse, and I think that Cal is a little live to win, but I it's two very long tails and in opposite directions for me. So I just think that I'm staying away personally. Kind of looking back towards last week, of course, like there's the most shocking thing of the week, and I would argue is that Texas A&M beat Alabama. This was not really on anyone's radar. They went up 10-7, and I actually bet A&M live. I like the push they're getting off the offensive line. I thought they were going to be able to move the ball a little bit more. So that was awesome for me. It wasn't for a super significant amount of money, but I mean, it was like a 5-1 dog, I believe. So it still felt pretty good to hit. But that game was awesome. I mean, it didn't really make me change any opinion on Alabama, but, it's kind of what I've been saying the whole time is that if you're able to run the ball on Alabama, then it kind of opens up other things for you offensively. And that's just kind of what happened. And offensively, it's just bad luck, like red zone turnovers. I very strangely coached game from Nick Saban. There's a lot of times where I thought he should have gone for it on fourth down, seeing how well they're being able to move the ball, and he chose to kick field goals. I just didn't really agree with that. I guess that's why they lost. So, but they're moving on. I'm not going to be talking about this later on, but I did bet Alabama -17 against Mississippi State. I just think you get a very, very good bounce back performance here. And I think they're going to be very sharp. So, and I think they'll play a little aggressive too, because now they need to win with margin in order to make sure their resume is good enough to get to the college football playoff. And there's no room for error, and you cannot play close games, because if the coin does not flip your way, that'll be bad luck if you lose another one. So, OU Texas, this was like an amazing Saturday of college football too. It was absolutely incredible. But it seems like Spencer Rattler's time might be up. Texas offense looked incredible, like we have been saying all year long, and I like everyone else has been. I'm sure, like anyone with a set of eyeballs can tell that Texas does have a special offense. The defense just looked lost, and part of it I think is that they were not ready. They were not ready to handle Caleb Williams at all. So, like, because Spencer Rattler is not really a dual threat quarterback. I don't really know why people say that. I mean, I could probably think of a reason, but he's not. Like, he likes to, if he does get out of the pocket, he's still looking to throw. Like, he's not going to burn you up by any means. And Caleb Williams just kind of brings like that extra element, and I think that it really opened things up for the Oklahoma offense. He should start this weekend. And if he doesn't, I think Lincoln Riley is making a bit of a mistake. But still, it's just an amazing game. If you had Texas, I'm sorry. That's a brutal beat. I don't remember if it was a part of his picks, but I do think James did, and that is quite the bummer. And I know he was very, very pissed off about that, because a 30-yard touchdown run with a second left is not how I would choose to lose a bet if I had to. And happened at the same time that game was Arkansas Ole Miss. It came down to a 2-point conversion, which I was a little bummed. I did have a piece of Arkansas money line, but they covered the 5 for me, or the 6.5, whatever it was. So I can't complain. And I wonder if we're going to start to see some fatigue this week. They both have games that I really just don't want any part of personally. It's Ole Miss is laying a short, very short number against Tennessee on the road. And Arkansas is, I think they're, it's up to about 5.5 or 6 now, hosting Auburn. So, and you know what, like, it's tough to be up every single week for games like that. And like now you kind of see a small dip in comp, or I mean, you do see like a pretty noticeable step down in competition here, which, not to say that Auburn and Tennessee are bad teams, because they're not, but it's not Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama, you know, teams of that nature that can really just beat you down. So very curious to see how they kind of look this week. If, gun to my head, if I was forced to fade one of them, I think it would be Arkansas, just because I think Auburn can run the ball. I don't hate an Auburn Arkansas over. I believe I saw 53 earlier, but you know, that's more of a lean. Not sure I'm betting that yet. But, and then finally, Georgia continues just to dominate, and it's, I feel like I sound like a broken record every week where I just continue my nonstop suck fest of Georgia football. And I do would like to add one caveat, because as great as the defensive line looks, you know, the linebackers, the secondary, Stetson Bennett, their backup quarterback, is balling. Running game is incredible. Offensive line elite. They still have not played a great passing offense yet. And I mean, Auburn was the highest ranked passing offense they've faced so far. And I believe in terms of success, excuse me, in terms of passing EPA, I think they're like 59th. And, you know, you face an Alabama, that game's going to look a lot different. And then you're going to have to rely on your offense to score points. And when it's just giving me a little bit of something to chew on now that, like, I've kind of like realized this. So, they are certainly the team to beat. They are certainly the best team in the nation by all ranks and margins. And, but be careful when they do face that, that kind of like the first, I guess maybe Arkansas backed into the top 50 after last week. But so when I looked, at the time of they were not ranked that high. But something to keep an eye on. So, but that being said, they are a absolute truck, and they are just annihilating teams and so immensely talented. So definitely a fun team to watch. And I love the future that I have. Final thing before I kind of get into the marquee games, which it's a little generous to say that there are marquee games this weekend, but I want to talk about the Heisman market. And so, as I've said, I'm skeptical that Bryce Young just simply deserves it. It's sort of like a team award, right? And Bryce Young's team lost. Personally, I don't think he's even been the best quarterback in college football this year. I would probably say that's been Matt Corral or Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett is like 40-1 right now, so that might not be the worst bet in the world. But I mean, Matt Corral could still lose 2 or 3 more games to the rest of the season. So how confident are we that Matt Corral is just going to like hang up there? He's going to have to go in berserk in terms of like these statistical like outputs that he needs in order to win, which you can win with 2 losses. You can win. It's not like it's impossible, but would that just leave Kenneth Walker as the lone favorite to win the award? I don't think most people believe he's the best running back in college football right now. I think most people, I mean, I would say it's Bijan Robinson. I'm probably a little biased there, but then he's got two losses already, and he's probably likely to lose another game at the bare minimum. Now, if Texas runs table, goes to the Big 12 championship, maybe, you know, voters talk themselves into giving it to like a transcendent running back talent, or if kind of Michigan State went there too. But very confusing right now. I think the fact that Bryce Young is so heavily favored, I think that's a disservice to the market. Same with Matt Corral, I think has the best case right now. I don't think he should be the second favorite. So it's very interesting to chew on. I think the person who should be favored right now is CJ Stroud. It's clear that he has hit his stride. And I think out of all of the players in contention, I think right now Ohio State has the best chance to make the college football playoff. And as of now, I think that is starting to become somewhat of a prerequisite to winning the Heisman of sorts, because that truly means that your team was the elite of the elite, in a sense. And it would not shock me if Ohio State just absolutely dump trucked their way towards a college football playoff bid, just because I think so many of these Big Ten teams are overrated. And when we watch Ohio State flex their offensive muscle, I don't know if anyone's going to keep up with them. So I do have a 30-1 ticket on CJ Stroud, which I am very excited of, but long season left. Oh, almost a little over a half, or actually I think this is the halfway point. So excited to get through this. I kind of just want to get through this week. It's just not really exciting me much. I don't have many bets, so we're on to week 8, but until this game, or until this weekend's the marquee games. I've got two. There's the two ranked games. Starting with Oklahoma State is traveling to Texas, fresh off their, I think we could call it a choke of a loss to Oklahoma. Texas lane 4, total is at 60. And I think that in terms of the spot, it is like an emotional letdown spot for Texas. I think losing in that way is just so deflating that it can be hard to come back from. Now the question is, in terms of matchups, is can Texas offense like roll against a good OK State defensive front and good defensive backs? Oklahoma State has been great against the run. They limit rush explosiveness very, very well. And in terms of overall defensive success rate, they're 25th in the country. And they're going up against a Texas offense that's 35th in overall success rate. And while you might not think that's like super elite, they're 18th in explosiveness, which really vaults you up when you need to put up big plays. Personally, I think Texas has the personnel to move the ball pretty easily in this game. So I don't really want any part of Oklahoma State on the side. That being said, and this is one of my 5 plays, I am all in on Oklahoma State team total over 27.5. Oklahoma State runs, they run the 5th most attempts in the nation per game basis. So part of this has to do with having leads in these games. So like you're naturally just the amount of rush plays you have will be inflated. However, Texas is 93rd in defensive rushing success rate. And even worse, they're 124th in rushing explosiveness. Teams are running at will against them, and they are picking up huge chunk gains. And I think Oklahoma State is going to be able to do that pretty easily here. So I do like Oklahoma State team total, and I'm not the biggest Spencer Sanders fan. But he can run. He's a good runner, and I think he can do enough throwing the ball to at least keep Texas honest. If he struggles passing the ball in this game, then I think Texas can absolutely roll here pretty well, and then I will have to rely on garbage time to kind of pick up those points. That being said, I'm fairly confident that Oklahoma State is kind of like, I think we might see another kind of game where Oklahoma State and Texas are going score for score here, and maybe not to the extent where it's, you know, both teams are in the 40s or whatever the hell it was, but I do think that it's more likely that this game goes over and Oklahoma State scoring points than it goes under. So Oklahoma State team total over for me. Second ranked game, Kentucky is playing at Georgia. Georgia lane 23, totals at 44.5. I'll keep this quick. It feels like too many points. I think that, you know, for how good Georgia is, I do think that, like, they haven't really, and this is not a good Kentucky offense. I think you can make the case it's not a good, it's a decent Kentucky defense. They're just not efficient on offense. And so when you're relying so much on explosive plays, it's really going to, you're really going to struggle to find those explosive plays when you're facing better athletes. And because of that, I just don't think Kentucky's going to really score here. Now, their offensive line is great. You know, good running back, incredibly average quarterback who likes to take a bunch of chances, but he can run a little bit. And then you have a good set of receivers, although you're going to be missing your second best. I just don't think it's enough. I don't want to lay this number, but I lean Kentucky, but it pains me a little bit to say that because I could see them definitely struggling here. Before I kind of get into the top five plays I'm buying this weekend, just a quick word from our sponsor, Anchor. Thank you to Anchor. My top five, 15-10 on the season, and that is after a very bad start. So we're moving in the right direction. Play one, Baylor, BYU, over 50. Last week, I thought that Baylor showed just great play sequencing, and I think that there's been a shift in, like, more creative play action calls for I probably should look this up, whether it's Gary or Jerry Bohannon or not, but he's balling. He's running really well. He's getting open space. He's getting open receivers, and I know I wasn't a huge fan of their offensive coordinator coming into the year, but I got to give him credit, and it seems like they were calling the good plays last week. And I would, for a team that is, I mean, they have an outside shot at a New Year's Six bowl game if they just continue to win. I mean, they have an outside shot at the Big 12 championship if they continue to win. But so I think we're going to see the good plays again this week. And on the flip side of that, BYU has an explosive passing offense, and that's where Baylor struggles. They give up a bunch of explosive passing plays. BYU still does not run the ball very well, but I think that's going to play into their favor because they're going to run into just like the back of the offensive line kind of early, and then they're going to be throwing the ball. And if this turns it, and I'm looking for a shootout here, and that's what I'm kind of banking on. I do think that happens, because Baylor does have a good defense, especially up front. So give me the I'm thinking that this game kind of opens up a bit and we get around like both teams kind of close or in the 30s here. So Baylor, BYU over 50. Second favorite play, Florida minus 11. I bet a Florida minus 9.5, but that was long gone. They're on the road at LSU. This is just an LSU fade. So naturally, when you have the best receiver in the country, he's out for the year. You're the best duo of corners in the country, and they're both out for the year. And then your senior starting defensive end is out for the year. And finally, your second best receiver is also out for the year. And you have a program in turmoil, and you have a quarterback who's not that good and relies on talented receivers to make plays for him. Yeah, I want to fade you. And so that's what we're doing here. I just think that there's a stink at the LSU program right now, and I don't think anyone really wants to be there. Coordinators suck, play calling sucks, and I think Florida at least has something to play for here, especially in a rivalry game. They can really shove it in their face on the road, and I think that's what happens here. I also think they run all over them. And Emory Jones has looked pretty solid this week. I was a detractor early on, but he has impressed me. So Florida minus 11. My third favorite play was Oklahoma State team total over. So I already kind of touched on that earlier on. So I'm just going to skip ahead, get to my fourth favorite play, which is North Carolina, Miami over 61.5. This just comes down to an out of sorts Miami defense and a North Carolina defense that I just don't think is good at all. North Carolina has been moving at a very, very quick tempo. So I like that. And Howell and Josh Downs, that connection is just cooking on all, and it's just firing on all cylinders. It's a bunch of downfield passing for North Carolina. And although Miami is starting a freshman quarterback, he already has some snaps under his belt. And I watched him struggle in the first half against Virginia. And then he really turned a corner and they started calling more aggressive play calling for him. And he was able to put up some points on the board. So I'm not super worried there. North Carolina, Miami over 61.5. Finally, fifth favorite play going to the ACC and Boston College is getting 3 points at home. They're hosting North Carolina State. North Carolina State, I think they're still getting a little, they're just getting a little too much credit for their Clemson win. They've been super inefficient throwing the ball. And while BC doesn't have like the most talented pass defense to take advantage of that, it's still not bad. And they have a pretty solid secondary. But where I think they find success here is they have a super stout rush defense and they rank super high in rushing defensive success rate. They're starting a backup quarterback this week, but I'm not super worried if, like, he's probably one of the best backups in the country, Dennis Grossel. So I'm not super worried about that. The Boston College O-line is really good, and I do think against what is a good, like, in the trenches against a good North Carolina State D-line and North Carolina State O-line, I think that Boston College will be able to kind of neutralize what is generally more of like a kind of like a positive for them. So, Boston College +3, I will be playing them on the money line too. That's about it for me today. Hopefully it was a quicker one. Sorry, there's noise going on in the background, I think. But don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts if you have not yet already. Follow us on Twitter at the Sharp Side Pod. That's at the Sharp Side Pod on Twitter. And hey, you have a question? This is quick. Normally with James here, I can touch on a couple more games, but there's something you didn't get. You got a question? Fire us a DM, fire us a tweet. We love the interaction. Loves answering questions for people, just giving opinions, stuff like that. I'm an opinionated guy. That's why I'm giving picks out on and letting myself be liable for people yelling at me on Twitter. So, and you know what? If you disagree with me, let me know. I love to hear it. Fourth Sharp Side Podcast. It's been real. Let's go win some money this weekend. College football week 7. Let's get through it, huh? Good luck.